going to read The Medar and Persephone, Chapter 9. Once, when Demeter was going through the world, giving men grain to be sown in their fields, she heard a cry that came to her from across the high mountains and that mounted up to her from the sea. Demeter's heart shook when she heard that cry, for she knew that it came to her from her daughter, from her only child, young Persephone. She stayed not to bless the fields in which the grain was being sown, but she hurried away to Sicily and the fields of Enna, where she had left Persephone. All Enna she searched, and all Sicily, but she found no trace of Persephone, nor the maidens from Persephone had been playing with. From all whom she met, she begged for tidings, but although some had seen maidens gathering flowers and playing together, no one could tell Demeter why her child had cried out, nor where she had since gone to. There was some who could have told her. One was Cian, a water nymph. But Cian, before Demeter came to her, had been changed into a spring of water. And now, not being able to speak and tell Demeter where her child had gone to and who had carried her away, she showed in the water the griddle of Persephone that she had caught in her hands. And Demeter, finding the griddle of her child in the spring, knew that she had been carried off by violence. She lighted a torch at Etna's burning mountain, and for 9 days and 9 nights she went searching for her through the darkened places of the earth. Then, upon a high and dark hill, the goddess Demeter came face to face with Hecate, the moon. Hecate, too, had heard the cry of Persephone. She had sorrow for Demeter's sorrow. She spoke to her as the two stood upon that dark, high hill, and told her that she would go to Helios for tidings, to bright Helios, the watcher for the gods, and beg Helios to tell her who it was who had carried off by violence her child Persephone. Demeter came to Helios. He was standing before his shining steeds, before the impatient steeds that draw the sun through the course of the heavens. Demeter stood in the way of those impatient steeds. She begged of Helios, who sees all things upon the earth, to tell her who it was that had carried off by violence Persephone, her child. And Helios, who may make no concealment, said, "Quickly, Demeter, know that the king of the underworld, the dark Aidoneus, has carried off Persephone to make her his queen in the realm that I never shine upon." He spoke, and as he did, his horses shook their manes and breathed out fire, impatient to be gone. Helios sprang into his chariot and went flashing away. Demeter, knowing that one of the gods had carried off Persephone against her will, and knowing that what was done had been done by the will of Zeus, and would go no more into the assemblies of the gods, she quenched the torch that she had held in her hand for 9 days and 9 nights. She put off her robe of goddess, and she went wandering over the earth, uncomforted for the loss of her child. And no longer did she appear as a gracious goddess to men. No longer did she give them grain. No longer did she bless their fields. No, none of the things that it had pleased her once would Demeter do any longer. Persephone had been playing with the nymphs, who were the daughters of the ocean. Phaino, Ianthe, Melita, Ianira, and Acast in the lovely fields of Anna. They went to gather flowers, irises, and crocuses, lilies, narcissus, hyacinths, and rose blooms that grow in those fields. As they went gathering flowers in their baskets, they had sight of Pergus, the pool that the white swans come to sing in, beside a cheap chasm that had been made in the earth. A wonderful flower was growing. In color, it was like a crocus, but it sent forth a perfume that was like perfume of 100 flowers. And Persephone thought, as she went toward it, that having gathered that flower, she would have something much more wonderful than her companions had. She did not know that Adonis, the lord of the underworld, had caused that flower to grow there so that she might be drawn to it, to the chasm that he had made. As Persephone stooped to pluck the flower, the wonder flower, Adonis, in his chariot of iron, dashed up through the chasm and, grasping the maiden by the waist, set her beside him. Only Cyan, the nymph, tried to save Persephone, and it was then that she caught the girdle in her hands. The maiden cried out, first because her flowers had been spilled, and then because she was being reft away. She cried out to her mother, and her cry went over the high mountains and sounded up the sea. The daughters of the ocean, affrighted, fled and sank down into the depths of the sea. In his great chariot of iron that was drawn by black steeds, Adonis rushed down through the chasm he had made. Into the underworld he went, and he dashed across the river Styx, and he brought his chariot up beside his throne, and on his dark throne he seated Persephone, the fainting daughter of Demeter. No more did the goddess Demeter give grain to men. No more did she bless their fields. Weeds grew where grain had been growing, and men feared that in a while they would famish of lack of bread. She wandered through the world, her thought all upon her child Persephone, who had been taken from her. Once she sat by a well by the wayside, thinking upon the child that she might not come to, and who might not come to her. She saw four maidens come near. Their grace and their youth reminded her of her child. They stepped lightly along, carrying bronze pitchers in their hands, for they were coming to the well of the maiden beside which Demeter sat. The maidens thought, when they looked upon her, that the goddess was some ancient woman who had a sorrow in her heart. Seeing that she was so noble and so sorrowful looking, the maidens, as they drew the clear water into their pitchers, spoke kindly to her. "Why do you stay away from the town, old mother?" one of the maidens said. "Why do you not come to the houses? We think that you look as if you were shelterless and alone, and we should like to tell you that there are many houses in the town where you would be welcome." Demeter's heart went out to the maidens because they were so young and fair and simple, and spoke out of such kind hearts. She said to them, "Where can I go, dear children? My people are far away, and there are none in the world who would care to be near me." Said one of the maidens, "There are princes in the land who would welcome you in their houses, if you would consent to nurse one of their young children. But why do I speak of other princesses besides Celius, our father? In his house you would be indeed have a welcome, but lately a baby has been born to our mother Metanira, and she would greatly rejoice to have one as wise as you to mind little Demophoon." All the time that she watched them and listened to their voices, Demeter felt that the grace and youth of the maidens made them like Persephone, and she thought that it would ease her heart to be in the house where these maidens were, and she was not loath to have them go and ask of their mother to have come to nurse the infant child. Swiftly they ran back to their home, their hair streaming behind them like crocus flowers, kind and lovely girls whose names are well remembered. Callidice and Clacidus, Demo, and Calitho. They went to their mother, and they told her of the stranger woman, whose name was Doso. She would make a wise and kind nurse for little Demophoon, they said. Their mother, Metanira, rose up from the couch she was sitting to welcome the stranger. But when she saw her at the doorway, awe came over her, so majestic she seemed. Metanira would have her seat herself on the couch, but the goddess took the loveliest stool, saying in greeting, "May the gods give you all good, lady. Sorrow has set you wandering from your good home," said Metanira to the goddess. "But now that you have come to this place, you shall have all that this house can bestow, if you will rear up to youth the infant Demophoon, child of many hopes and prayers." The child was put into the arms of Demeter. She clasped him to her breast, and little Demophoon looked up into her face and smiled. Then Demeter's heart went out to the child and to all who were in the household. She grew in strength and beauty in her charge, and little Demophoon was not nourished as other children are nourished, but even as the gods in their childhood were nourished. Demeter fed him on ambrosia, breathing on him with her divine breath the while. And at night she laid him on the hearth amongst the embers, with the fire all around him. This she did that she might make him immortal and like the gods. But one night Metanira looked out of the chamber where she lay, and she saw the nurse like take little Demophoon and lay him on the place of the hearth, with the burning brands all around him. Then Metanira started up, and she sprang to the hearth, and she snatched the child from beside the burning brands. "Demophoon, my son," she cried, "what would this stranger woman do to you, bringing bitter grief to me, that ever I let her take you in her arms?" Then the mother said, "Foolish indeed are you, mortals, and not too able to foresee that what is to come to you of good or evil. Foolish indeed are you, Metanira, for in your heedlessness you have cut off this child from an immortality like to the immortality of the gods themselves. For He had lain in my bosom and had become dear to me, and I would have bestowed upon him the greatest gift that the divine ones can bestow, for I would have made him deathless and unaging. And this now has gone by. Honor we shall have indeed, but Demophoon will now age and death. The seeming old age that was upon her had fallen from Demeter. Beauty and stature were hers, and from her robe there came a heavenly fragrance. There came such lights from her body that the chamber shone. Caterina remained trembling and speechless, unmindful even to take up the child that she had been laid upon the ground. It was then that his sisters heard Demophoon wail. One ran from her chamber and took the child in her arms. Another kindled again the fire upon the hearth, and the others made ready to bathe and care for the infant. All night they cared for him, holding him in their arms and at their breasts, but the child would not be comforted because the nurses who handled him now were less skillful than the goddess nurse. And as for Demeter, she left the house of Celeus and went upon her way, lonely in her heart and unappeased. And in the world that she wandered through, the plough went in vain through the ground. The furrow was sown without any avail, and the race of men saw themselves near perishing for lack of bread. But again Demeter came near the well of the maiden. She thought the daughters of Celeus, as they came toward the well that day, the bronze pitchers in their hand, and with kind looks for the strangers, she thought of them as she sat by the well again. And then she thought of little Demophoon, the child that she held at her breast. No stir of living was in the land near her home, and only weeds grew in their fields. As she sat there and looked around her, where came into Demeter's heart a pity for the people in whose house she had dwelt. She rose up, and she went to the house of Celeus. She found him beside his house measuring out a little grain. The goddess went to him, and she told him that because of the love she bore his household, she would bless his fields so that the seed he had sown in them would come to growth. Celeus rejoiced, and he called all the people together, and they raised a temple to Demeter. She went through the fields and blessed them, and the seed that they had began to grow, and the goddess for a while dwelt amongst the people at her temple at Eleusis. But still she kept away from the assemblies of the gods. Zeus sent a messenger to her, Iris, with the golden wings, bidding her to Olympus. Demeter would not join the Olympians. Then, one after the other, the gods and goddesses of Olympus came to her. None were able to make her cease from grieving for Persephone, or to go again into the company of the immortal gods. And so it came about to Zeus that was compelled to send a messenger down to the underworld to bring Persephone back to the mother who grieved so much for the loss of her. Hermes was the messenger whom Zeus had sent. Though through the darkened palaces of the earth Hermes went, and he came to that dark throne where the Lord Aidoneus sat, and Persephone beside him. Then Hermes spoke to the Lord of the Underworld, saying that Zeus commanded that Persephone should come forth from the Underworld, that her mother might look upon her. Then Persephone, hearing the word of Zeus that might not be gainsaid, uttered the only cry that had left her lips since she had sent out a cry that had reached her mother's heart, and Aidoneus, hearing the command of Zeus that might not be denied, bowed his dark majestic head. She might go to the upper world and rest herself in the arms of her mother, he said, and then he cried out, "Ah, Persephone, strive to feel kindliness in your heart toward me, who carried you off by violence and against your will. I can give you one of the great kingdoms that Olympians rule over, and I, who am brother to Zeus, I am no unfitting husband for you, Demeter child." So Aidoneus, the dark lord of the underworld, said, and he made a reply, he made ready the iron chariot with its deathless horses, that Persephone might go up from his kingdom. Beside the single tree in his domain, Aidoneus stayed the chariot. A single fruit grew on that tree, a bright pomegranate fruit. Persephone stood up in the chariot, and she plucked the fruit from the tree. Then did Aidoneus prevail upon her to divide the fruit, and having divided it, Persephone ate 7 of the pomegranate seeds. It was Hermes who took the whip and the reins of the chariot. He drove on, and neither the sea nor the watercourses nor the glens of the mountain peaks stayed the deathless horses of Aidoneus. And soon the chariot was brought near to where Demeter awaited the coming of her daughter. And then, from a hilltop, Demeter saw the chariot approaching, and she flew like a wild bird to clasp her child. Persephone, when she saw her mother's dear eyes, sprang out of the chariot and fell upon her neck and embraced her. Long and long Demeter held her dear child in her arms, gazing upon her. Suddenly her mind misgave her. With a great fear at her heart, she cried out, "Dearest, has any food passed your lips in all the time had been in the underworld?" She had not tasted food in all the time she was there, Persephone said. Suddenly she remembered the pomegranate that Aidoneus had asked her to divide. Then she told her that she had eaten 7 seeds from it. Demeter wept, and her tears fell upon Persephone's face. "Ah, my dearest," she cried, "if you had not eaten the pomegranate seeds, you would have stayed with me, and always we should have been together. But now that you have eaten food in it, the underworld has claim upon you. You may not stay always with me here. Again, you will go back and dwell in the dark places under the earth and sit upon Aidoneus' throne. But not always will you be there. When the flowers bloom upon the earth, you shall come up from the realm of darkness, and in great joy we shall go through the world together, Demeter and Persephone." And so it has been since Persephone came back from her mother, having eaten of the pomegranate seeds. For 2 seasons of the year she stays with Demeter, and for 1 season she stays in the underworld with her dark lord. While she was with her mother, there is springtime upon the earth. Demeter blesses the furrows, her heart being glad because her daughter is with her once more. The furrows become heavy with grain, and soon the whole wide earth has grain and fruit, leaves and flowers. And when the furrows are ripped, then grain has been gathered, and then the dark season comes. Persephone goes from her mother, and going down into the dark places, she sits beside her mighty lord, Aidoneus, and upon his throne. Not sorrowful is she there. She sits with her head unbowed, for she knows herself to be a mighty queen, and she has joy too, knowing that the seasons when she may walk with Demeter, her mother, mother, on the wide places of the earth, through the fields and flowers of fruit ripening again. Such was the story of Orpheus told, Orpheus who knew the histories of the gods. A day came when the heroes, on their way back from a journey they had made with the Lemnian maidens, called out Heracles upon the Argo. When Heracles, standing on the prow of the ship, shouted angrily at them, terrible did he seem to the Lemnian maidens, and they ran off, drawing the heroes with them. Heracles shouted off to his comrades again, saying that if they did not come aboard the Argo and make ready for the voyage to Colossus, he would go ashore and carry them to the ship and force them again to take oars in their hands. Not all what Heracles said did the Argonauts hear. That evening the men were silent in Hypsipyle's hall, and it was Atalanta, the maiden, who told the evening story. So that was chapter 9. Bye, guys. See you later. See you later. See you later. See ya. See ya. Later. Bye, guys.